Tom Salmon is Assistant Inspector General in the Office of Audit Services at the Office of Inspector General at the Department of Health and Human Services. Tom, thank you for joining me today. You and your colleagues recently took a look at deployment of Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, HSPD 12, at the Department of Health and Human Services. Tell me why you did this review, especially as we get close to the 10-year anniversary of HSPD 12.
Well, security is a priority with all the inspector generals. And in fact, this we've been doing restrictive reports for many years. This is one of our most recent public-facing reports. And the area of access controls, people even in the public, in the private sector, know that badges and this HSPD, which is also a personal identity verification study, is something that has to be tightened up in organizations, both for physical access into buildings, but as this talks about as well, as access to information systems and protecting that information, which is a big priority across the federal government. And this particular work was sort of piggybacked after the Veterans Administration. They did a report in 2010 on the opportunities to strengthen implementation, and this is all about applying appropriate pressure to the entities that serve in the Health and Human Services capacity to protect their information.
You laid out in the appendix here, Tom, 12 different things that you did to accomplish your objective. What are the most significant of those? It's a pretty comprehensive list.
Yeah, it is a very comprehensive list. Imagine taking a team of folks and looking at the policies and procedures regarding how this was being implemented to assure that people who were getting badges had gone through the proper fingerprints, the background checks, the order, and the steps related to segregating duties to ensure the integrity that people who weren't authorized to get these special IDs didn't get them. Also, physical controls. Were these environments where this activity was happening protected from people potentially coming in from a public area and getting access to some of the card stock, or even in some cases reading passwords or IDs, usernames and passwords potentially on sticky notes? I mean, what was the physical environment of how this work was being done? So it was a fairly comprehensive look, and that's why there were so many steps and so many items for the department to address. And to their credit, and any responsible management entity starts taking action immediately when vulnerabilities are brought to their attention.
You use a term in two of these steps that I don't see very often. Judgmentally selected 50 PIV applicants at divisions to determine 2 points. Judgmentally selected 8 role holders at divisions to determine whether training was provided for all the roles they held. My sense is that that term judgmentally selected means something in Inspector General speak. Is that the case?
Yeah, because oftentimes our audits, such as in Medicare or Medicaid, require statistical sampling and large numbers of transactions. We did an improper payments job where you put in script or code, and it uses algorithms to select the sample. In this case, since we were really looking at the activities of certain offices that issue these cards, we were able to go in and, for example, take 50 applicants from, say, OS, the Office of the Secretary, and some also in the category of CMS. And we thought that those, especially the CMS, would represent obviously a large number of employees. So it was a way to simply pull from, after asking interviews and getting a sense, we figured we'd learn a lot from, in essence, grabbing a subset of HHS to see. Because HHS, the Health and Human Services, in their part of their implementation was to decide that this was going to be a decentralized rollout. So by us grabbing some from an operating division here and some over there, we would get a a stronger snapshot.
Tom Sammons, Assistant Inspector General at the Office of IG at the Department of Health and Human Services. And there's a little wrinkle that jumped out at me in this report, Tom. When you started this audit, the HHS Program Management Office was responsible for making this happen. During the audit, that transitioned to the Office of Security and Strategic Information, and it appears that there was a bit of a difference in the approach that each of those organizations took to deployment. Can you detail that a little bit for me, please?
Yeah, I can tell you that there's been a lot of reorganizations and a lot of changes in some of the OPDIVs, the operating divisions in the federal government, to better meet the mission. And in fortunately for us, members that we were dealing with in the new entity are still consistently there. So when I talked to my team about this a little bit more this morning, we went over that They felt confident that a lot of the same folks from the PMO are still involved with this OSSI.
They're just doing it in a different location inside the agency, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You found six key vulnerabilities in this, and you've rated them by the type of risk that you assessed. Five of the six are rated high risks. One of them is rated a moderate risk. I'd like to just talk briefly about each of them in turn. The first one is enrollment and issuance process, and that seems to be right at the root of it to make sure that the right people were getting the cards and getting them in the right manner. Am I on target there?
Absolutely. And, you know, in terms of things related to whether this is a pending application, whether there's a background check that's related to a prior federal job, some factors that would deal with the entry point of a new applicant to when they actually got a PIV card, an ID card issued. And the interesting takeaway with this is you'll see that we had these six categories of vulnerabilities. And again, to the department's credit, we share a bilateral commitment to ensuring the integrity of information. In fact, it's part of our strategic plan to promote the secure and effective use of data and technology. So for them, they had already worked on some of these areas and immediately were implementing changes. And in fact, this was an area of disagreement. You know, what happens with audits is you have findings and the auditee either concurs and says, we agree and we're going to make the necessary steps. This is our timeline. These are our milestones. Or they'll come back and say, we disagree. We have a compensating control. We don't agree with you. It's a civil disagreement. In the end, the right thing happens. So, you know, this is an interesting one because it does deal with credentialing requirements and separation of duties and areas about the fingerprints, background checks, and so forth.
The second category of vulnerabilities that you've discovered were kind of at the other end of that spectrum, and that's the deactivation of these cards. Is this when somebody separates from the agency, moves on in some way?
Exactly. We took a sample in our sample, we were able to evaluate those who were still active in the system and then checked whether or not they were a current employee and found that some were no longer current employees.
The next one is security over system access, and it sounds like that's essentially who has the ability to get on the system and see the information that's contained within it. Is that right?
Correct. And also, you know, that also deals with some of the monitoring that goes on and some of the systems. And there was that's another area where we had disagreement with them as well, because they do have some automatic monitoring within their system. But again, at the end of the day, they're better, they're stronger, and we basically work together to strengthen the performance of these programs and the security levels, which is obviously, as you mentioned, a decade. It's been a long commitment, and it's going to continue to be a challenge. And we're really grateful that there's people out there working for the government, the contractors who also work alongside us and others to try to strengthen these systems for the American people.
The fourth item among the six categories of vulnerability that you found, Tom, was a security management issue. And one item, one element of that struck me. It says HHS allowed non-governmental computers to connect to card management systems. Was that an oversight on the part of the systems architecture folks, or was there some other? Was there some reason why that was done and needed to go back and be fixed?
There was a couple parts to this. This also relates to the fact that there's the firewall piece, and we had noted that the configuration on the firewall was the contractor that they were using was not following the regulations. And that's a big point to make, is that this the federal regulations relate everything from the Homeland Security folks who helped create the presidential directive to the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, the FIPS, which is the Federal Information Process Standards, the FISMA, which is the Federal Information Securities Management Act. And some of these requirements will also would call for being able to have multiple factor authentication. So in other words, you shouldn't be able to come into a system without having some sort of combination of, say, a token or a PIV card, an ID card, and have that extra level of being able to get in. And we just thought that, we pointed that out, and they concurred. We had no difficulty in them agreeing in the security management. And this was a couple, a year and a half, over a year ago. And of course, they mitigated that according to their plan quickly.
We'll talk in just a moment about the concurrence and mitigation of these issues. The fifth on your list of six categories of vulnerabilities is physical security. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, again, the physical security was whether or not a person could come in potentially off the street and interface and be either close or get access to the computers or to information or even card stock or materials. And although they said, none of the actual information was on the computers that could have been accessed, they even while our auditors were there in the process of field work, they noted later that physical security changes were being made immediately. Walls were going up in offices. They were excluding certain areas, and they were and it kind of relates to the last one. They were already adding patch management and antivirus, but that was from the prior number. But important stuff.
The sixth on this list is web vulnerabilities, and as I looked at this one, you rated this one only a moderate risk. The others were all rated high risks. And the sense that I took from this one is similar to what you've expressed about these others, Tom, and that is that you didn't walk into a bad situation. You walked into a situation in transition, and that some of these changes, as you just implied about the physical security one, were happening as you started to first look, as your auditors first examined, they walked into an environment of change already, not change that was brought about because the auditors showed up.
That's it. And we're very sensitive. We're not a gotcha agency, but we're an accountability office that comes into some of these situations that are immature and evolving. I mean, we're seeing that with some of our other work that will be coming out shortly on healthcare.gov's website and Kentucky and New Mexico. As the auditee wrote in their response, I think they kicked it off by saying, continued implementation. You're right on. We're coming into a situation that's continuing to evolve and deal with current challenges.
14 recommendations that OSSI concurred with, 4 they didn't. And you've already talked about some of the responses and remedies to some of those recommendations. Is it your sense that those recommendations are being implemented in a timely fashion and being implemented in the way and spirit that you intended them when you made those recommendations?
We are. I mean, this is a major concurrence, general concurrence in the sense that the disagreement that we had was, over the process control. I mentioned the disagreement on something related to fingerprint timing, source documents, segregation of duties. They had compensating controls. But in their response to us, since time has elapsed, they were able to point out and share with us at different points that they were able to make these changes and these implementations with dates that they provided us. And really, the follow-up to that is that they're under the scrutiny and were involved in the FISMA audit of the OS, for example, the Office or the Secretary. And Homeland Security wants folks in the federal agencies to be beyond 80% compliant. And I believe that OS, as far as my most recent information is that they're either 100% compliant or close to 100% in what they've attested to the audit folks this year.
Tom, those are all the questions I have for you. Anything else that we should add before we wrap up?
Well, just the future and the environment. I think if we could just add the fact that, you know, a lot of IG shops are working toward more public IT reports to serve the public. And this idea of protecting personal health information, we have to remain unemotional, vigilant. We're not flat-footed, but people also have to be mindful that progress always includes risk. So, you know, we're trying to work with Congress and other partners and other IGs and state auditors and any folks to create a web of oversight so that we can strengthen the very systems and operations going forward, because it's, as you know, with healthcare, it's been a major evolution.